Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, friend, be blessed today. There are no limits to God's love for you and what He can accomplish through you. He enjoys filling your life with goodness. It's the sweet reward of trusting Him. And when I think of filling our lives with His goodness, I think of Psalm 84. One of my favorite chapters and verses is the 11th verse. Oh, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. Oh, and favor. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly before Him. And remember, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have righteousness from Jesus to the Father, because the Father can't stand sin. So you who were once in sin now have a robe of righteousness around you. Praise God. That is such a wonderful blessing for me. Every day I recognize how Jesus has redeemed us and made us God's children. Hallelujah. Oh, on the way back to home today, I went across town to deliver the express newsletter, and I got a call from Sandy, and she's right north of Malibu, in the town of Chatsworth. And I was pretty concerned about her and my Aunt Virginia, and they're just fine. She said the flames were pretty close, but she said they did not come near the house, although they're adjusting to being on the alert in case something happens, especially if the winds come. So I've been praying to God that the winds would calm. Remember, just like Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and that the enemy would be totally rebuked from this scene. I believe that sometimes we see the will of God being allowed because of the political climate going on in this country, but it is not God's will for any of His people to suffer. So I pray that everything will be all right. It was so good to talk to her for just a few minutes. She's such a wonderful cousin and a wonderful friend. And she received Jesus three or four years back, and she wants to learn what I have learned. And it's been 50 years, folks, that I have been learning what I am learning. And I said, Sandy, just take time. Just take time with yourself. Don't get frustrated. God is going to bring His wisdom to you in absolutely your timing. And so the same with you today, my friend. Don't be frustrated that maybe a brother or sister knows more of the Word than you do, because we're all together, brothers and sisters, loving one another. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I want to tell you that you can go to Freedom Street. Last week, it was down for a little while because they were updating, and I am going to get a new computer here in the next month or two, so it's going to be off again, on again, but I know that you're going to be faithful and you're going to be patient with freedomstreet.org and Barbara Carmack at freedomstreet.org, which is the email address. And you can go online and give there at donate, and just click that button, donate, and you can have a donation to Call to Freedom, and I will receive it in the office. God bless you for your wonderful giving, your faithful giving. And I will be sending receipts out here in the next couple of days. Praise the Lord. Our scripture for this week is from Job 19, verse 25. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will take His stand on the earth. When the history is just about to fold up, friend, when we've had all the history, just imagine, all the history will just be rolled up like a scroll, and it will be the end. and then we will have eternity with him. Oh, it's just going to be amazing. It's kind of, well, not kind of, no, it isn't at all, like next week when we have a new president at the White House. That's going to be a celebration, but it's not at all going to be like when Jesus comes back. The Living Translation of Job 19, 25 and 26 says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God." And you're going to have a new body when you see God. Now, Job was at the point in his life where he was scraping the crusty skin. I mean, he had a disease that caused his whole body to erupt. And here he was scraping the scabs and everything on his body. Can you imagine the pain? And yet he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And that's got to happen with us. When we know that we're at the last of our lives, or we're at the point of our lives where devastation is happening like these fires, "I know that my Redeemer lives," and depend on him. Well, we have Mission Possible with Tim Tebow here. And on the page that he has the great response, we're going to go. Yesterday, we went to Mark 4, where Jesus was asleep in the boat when the big storm came, and he calmed the storm. Praise God. And so today, it's Mark 5, and the scripture is, Jesus is saying to the man, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And that's each of our assignments, to go to friends, go to loved ones and say, "Do you know what God did for me? He has kept me well. He's kept me secure. He's kept me secure in his love and in this world that we're living in." That's what we need to tell our friends. In Mark 5, the Bible tells a story of a man who was demon-possessed. He lived in a cave in a mountain, cutting himself with stones. I just can't imagine. One day he saw Jesus from afar and ran toward him. Jesus delivered and healed the man, casting out the demons from him. There were many demons, and sending them into a herd of pigs that ran off a cliff, fell into the sea, then drowned. If you remember in Mark 5, when the people of the village came out to see what was going on, the people told Jesus they wanted him to leave the territory. Isn't that sad? He wanted the healer and deliverer of this man to leave the territory. And so many times we see that the good people are either rejected or opposed in some way or the other. And we need to stand our ground, folks. We really do. And when it was time for Jesus to get back into the boat and return to the other side of the lake, the man who had been freed from the demons begged Jesus that he might accompany him. And that's verse 18 of Mark 5. Now, that's what I call a great response. You know, he's healed. He wants to go with Jesus. I mean, "I want to go with you, Jesus." Now, I know that many of us have been healed in our lives. Did we want to go deeper with Jesus, or did we just go on to another crisis, a new crisis? Oh, man, you know, and you don't even remember what he did for you. Well, this man did. He knew what Jesus had done for him. And though he wanted to stay with Jesus, Jesus had a different mission in mind for him. Jesus asked him to go home and tell the people there what Jesus had done for him. The man said yes. And he had an amazing impact on his town. I'm sure he did. I'm sure that at first they said, don't go near him. This is a man that's crazy. But then when he showed them the love of Jesus in his heart, I'm sure there was a lot of people born again then. Well, you weren't born again, but came close to Jesus then. God might have a different mission than what you have in mind, but whatever it is, say yes. Go and make your life count. That is the great response that Jesus wants to hear from you. Yes, Lord, send me. And Tim has a prayer here that you might want to pray. Dear Jesus, I believe I can live a mission possible life because your mission was accomplished. Remind me that because you have overcome the world, and he calls us overcomers, friend, that you have overcome the world, I can do whatever you have called me to do. Thank you that I get to live mission possible. Amen. Oh, and four chapters later in Mark 9, A man came to the disciples with a demon-possessed son. You know why all this happens when Jesus was on earth and ministering for those 3 years? To let us know that all things are possible. There's no disease or no demon possession that will not be taken care of in the name of Jesus, and I'm so grateful for that. A man came to the disciples with a demon-possessed son and asked them to deliver his son from the demon that made him froth at the mouth and roll about. They could not. And when Jesus approached from being on the Mount of Transfiguration with his father and two disciples, the son's father ran to Jesus. Jesus' first remark after he heard that this demon was not cast out of this little boy said, "You unbelieving generation." And I believe that we who are born again live in an unbelieving generation. There are so many things that are happening, and unbelief is rampant right now. Now, Mark 9:21 through 32 in the Message says, he asked the boy's father, "How long has this been going on?" "Ever since he was a little boy. Many times it pitches him into fire or the river to do away with him." If you can do anything, do it, Jesus. Have a heart and help us. Jesus' reply to this man was, "If there are no ifs." Praise God among believers. If God does this for me, then I will do this. If God heals me, then I will go and do that. No, there are no ifs among believers. It's not my will, but thine be done. And we live in that wonderful, secure place. There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. Jesus said, "I'm here." All things are possible to those who believe. And that's Mark 9, verse 23. "And no sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried, 'Then I believe, help me with my doubts.' Seeing the crowd was forming fast." And see, that's unbelief charging forward. Jesus knew there was a lot of, show me, a lot of unbelief in that crowd. Jesus gave the vile spirits its marching orders. "Dumb and deaf spirit, I command you out of him and stay out." Screaming and with much thrashing about, it left. The boy was pale as a corpse, so people started saying, he's dead. But Jesus, taking his hand, raised him. The boy stood up. After arriving back home, his disciples cornered Jesus and asked, "Why couldn't we throw the demon out?" He answered, "There is no way to get rid of unbelief, or there is no way to get rid of this kind of demon spirit except by prayer and fasting." Now, this concept of "there is no way to get rid of unbelief" came from Kenneth E. Hagin. And I really believe that's what Jesus was talking about. There is no way to get rid of unbelief except by prayer and fasting. And friend, if you've ever fasted before, that's going to get rid of a whole lot of unbelief. You are going to stay close to Jesus when you're fasting food. The prayer and fasting get rid of the unbelief. And verse 30 of Mark 9 says, "Leaving there, they went through Galilee." He didn't want anyone to know their whereabouts, for he wanted to teach his disciples. He told them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed to some people who want nothing to do with God. They will murder him, and 3 days after his murder, he will rise alive." They did not know what he was talking about, but were afraid to ask him about it. Ah. See, we need to know that Jesus is our friend. We can talk to him about anything. Our fears, our doubts, anything. You can talk to your friend Jesus. Yesterday I was reading part of Colossians 1 about Paul in the dungeon, and wanting to let us know that Jesus has made us complete in all he has done. He has been there from the beginning, and in him are all things made. And I want to go on in that reading of Colossians 1:24. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. Paul says, "I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced this suffering as a sheer gift God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. So he calls his time in the dungeons. He was in the dungeon in Ephesus. He was in the dungeon at Philippi. He was in the dungeon at Colossae here. So he wants you to know that it was a gift to him. Oh, that's amazing. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is this: Christ in you, the King James Version says, the hope of glory, sharing in God's glory, Christ in you. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense. Wow, I've heard that word so much, or those two words so much in these last few weeks. Common sense. We need to get back to common sense. No more woke. We need to get back to common sense. Praise the Lord. There are only two genders. Hello. Profound common sense, so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy God so generously gives me. Hallelujah. There are many reasons why Jesus came to earth. The first was to redeem us from the sin of this fallen world. And in redeeming us, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Let me read that in 1 John 3. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, they make a practice of doing the sinning all the time. It shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. And boy, did he destroy the works of the devil on that Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. And I'm going to be talking to you a little bit more about fruit bearing. When you become a child of God, you begin to bear good fruit, not rotten fruit, not spoiled fruit, good fruit. And it's talking about having an advocate with the Father, that when we do sin, and he knows we do sin, but we are now righteous before him. But when we do sin, we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Wow, I love those verses, because that tells me that when I do sin, and boy, you know when you sin, when you've said the wrong thing, when you've done the wrong thing, you really feel it as a believer. Well, anyway, I do. And I confess that sin and I say, Father God, I need to ask you to help me yield myself to you more and more each day, and get rid of whatever is causing that problem in my life. And he will. He'll help you. He'll help you to get through that and overcome that problem that you've had. Now, when you're up against that struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. When you're in that struggle, I was doing that today when I was listening to the confirmation of Pete Hegseth. And I was saying, Father God, I praise you. I praise you for this man. I thank you, Father God, you're going to confirm him. Well, Barbara, how do you know he's going to be confirmed? Well, I know that God works miraculously in those kind of things. I remember when I went to court with Darren. Ugh. So many times I'd not been in a courtroom before then, except maybe for one speeding ticket. But when I went to court with Darren quite a few times, I prayed and I praised God that he was going to get out of the situation, the legal situation that he was going through. And it did. It happened. they did not charge him, or the judge said he's innocent. Mr. Carmack is innocent. And so I know that when we praise the Lord, he will work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Here's Russ Taff and the Imperials.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. We are paupers, but he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord, he can work through those who praise him.
Remember the day I brought that album home. Oh, played it and played it and played it. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Oh, Paul knew God had delivered him from a life of dragging believers to prison, to dungeons, and yes, even killing. Remember, he was sitting there watching Stephen being stoned, and he approved of it when Stephen, the precious disciple of Jesus Christ, was stoned in Acts. So Paul understood that God is a deliverer as well as a redeemer. In Romans 7, Paul is saying here, right before he realizes there's no more condemnation here, folks, he said, oh, that which I wanted to do, I didn't do, and that which I didn't want to do, I did do. See, that's the carnality battling the spirit, and we've all been through it. There's a battle going on, friend, and we got to crush that mind that is influenced by the enemy, that carnal, that fleshly spirit. And then after he's saying that which I do not I want to do, and that which I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And this is in the 7th chapter of Romans. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We know Jesus is Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law, but on the other, my flesh is the law of sin. Then he goes into one of the best chapters of all in the New Testament. There is therefore now no condemnation. When you are in Christ Jesus and you may still feel guilt or shame, we can cast that down in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of condemnation, of guilt, of inferiority, of fear in Jesus' name. When we pray that prayer in Jesus' name, that spirit is gone, just like Jesus did in Mark 9. When he cast that spirit, that deaf and dumb spirit, out of that precious little boy, it left. Praise God. And then Paul goes on to say, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. See, Jesus became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Oh, he became sin. Jesus became sin, took sin on that cross. He became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a blessing it is. We no longer want a mind set on the flesh. No longer a mind set on the flesh, because that's death. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. And that's what I desire for you today, friend. Life, abundant life in Jesus Christ, and that peace that passes all understanding. God bless you and keep you. Kimberly and I are going to be on the air tomorrow, hopefully, the Lord willing. And pray for Pete Hegseth. I believe he's going to be confirmed, and I want God's will in this. Thank you. God bless you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.